happens, but it sure seems like it happens a lot, where the cover of Time, Newsweek, and U.S. News and World Report are almost exactly the same thing. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah, I have, actually.
And this week, it's the God versus Science cover, and how these magazines got on the same subject. This subject, I can't imagine. There's this incredible story about this one prison that contains almost all of our biggest criminals.
Has science ever kissed a woman, or won the Super Bowl, or put a man on the moon?
Fremont County is in, it's in Colorado. Highway 50 runs straight as a pool cue, they say, from Pueblo, Colorado, through 23 miles of rangeland and flats before offering an exit to the scruffy little city of Florence, which population is about 3,700. They've had prisons there for years, and I guess they think prisons are, well, they're okay with prisons. It's always been a part of their local economy, jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatnot. Hey, well, whatever works.
Anyway, they ponied up 20 years ago about $160,000 to buy some open land outside of Florence, hoping to entice the Bureau to build a prison complex as a way to boost their economy. Corrections had been in Fremont County for years. The high desert valley was already home to more than a dozen prisons, but in the end, Florence got more than it bargained for, because this 600-acre federal correctional complex, which was completed in 1994, is a virtual theme park of penal experiences ranging from a minimum security camp.
Penal experiences. Why do they have to call it the penal system? What homo ever called it that to begin with? Anyway, go ahead.
They got minimum security for inside traders and small-time drug dealers. And then they have this concrete fortress that was built to be the most secure prison in the country. The Administrative Maximum U.S. Penitentiary, or ADX for short. The inmates in ADX Florence include drug kingpins, gang leaders, hitmen, snipers, and more and more international terrorists, including... Wow.
What a crowd.
I know. You wouldn't believe the people who are in the same prison.
Can you imagine?
Richard,
boy, lunchtime must be pretty weird, huh?
Remember Richard? Well, they rarely see each other.
Oh, thank God.
Remember Richard Reed, the shoe bomber?
Yeah.
This clown who I hate. Every time I have to take my shoes off at the airport,
I
think of this jerk.
I know that fool.
Ramzi Youssef from the World Trade Center bombing?
Yep, sure.
Seven of his accomplices are there.
Mm.
Four men convicted of involvement in the 1998 bombings of U.S. embassies in Africa are there.
Mm.
Then the American terrorist, too, Tim McVeigh. Spent time there before being transferred to Indiana, where he was executed. His accomplice, Terry Nichols, is at ADX, as is Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber.
Oh, my God.
And Eric Robert Rudolph. Remember the guy that blew up the abortion clinic and then was in the woods?
Guard at that place.
At Bomber's Row.
What a hornet's nest.
Since 9/11, journalists have been routinely denied access to the facility, its staff, or inmates. But Eric Robert Rudolph, who was serving life without parole for the fatal bombings at the Atlanta Olympics and an abortion clinic in Alabama, has written letters to the author of this story, this Marianne Vollers. And she's now writing a book about his case. And she also took letters to his mother, Patricia Rudolph, who shared them with Marianne. And she describes, well, she gives a pretty good firsthand account of what life is like on Bomber's Row.
Bomber's Row.
First of all, and this is from Eric Rudolph's letter. It is Ramadan now, and the Muslims are fasting, Rudolph wrote in the fall of 2005, 3 months after he arrived at ADX. The call to prayer echoes through the halls five times a day, giving this place a decidedly otherworldly feel. Can you believe they have these prayer calls five times a day?
Amazing?
This is the highest security prison in the United States.
And they allow that? I wouldn't. I'd shut it right down, make them miserable.
We're talking about a guy that tried to blow up a plane.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eight people who were involved in blowing up the World Trade Center. Not the big blow up, not the planes, the other, which did kill people.
Yeah, the parking
and
lot.
Was a hell of a mess.
Yeah.
Anyway, those eight guys are there.
Structure.
And they get to celebrate Ramadan.
I can't believe it.
All of their Ramadan needs are met.
I just can't believe it. I wouldn't even allow them to have a damn prayer rug.
Although the inmates are isolated.
Nothing. You get nothing.
In gloomy one-man cells the size of a small bathroom, at least 23 hours a day, their chambers aren't soundproof. In fact, the prison is noisy. Rudolph's housing unit resonates with the constant mechanical whir and clank of electronic gates, punctuated by the sound of inmates praying, wailing, and shouting conversations in English and Arabic through the walls and vents between their cells.
Oh, that must be so annoying.
Now, this is what I couldn't believe. Now, as I read the article, I thought, surely I'm going to read that they've got some Arabic translator in-house who's, you know,
listening
translating these conversations
and all that.
No, there's no one.
No.
They just go on.
So
and
they
on
probably freely talk
Arabic
about
each other.
About how to bomb something on the outside, plans for the future. Or,
well, who knows what they're saying? But I mean, wouldn't that be a nice place to get some information?
Yes.
Hearing a conversation between the shoe
that
bomber
bunch?
And the World Trade Center bomber.
Hell yes.
There are 8 cells at Rudolph's range, and another 8 on the lower level, or the level above him. For security reasons, he's not allowed to name his fellow prisoners, but he says there's one American who never comes out of his cell. And according to sources, that is the Unabomber, Kaczynski.
Mm.
Rudolph says the rest of the neighbors are such nationalities as Egyptian, Sudanese, and Palestinian. He writes that his area of the prison is where they house the political offenders, what they call terrorists. There are many such men at ADX. The list of Arab inmates reads like a who's who of the international jihad.
That's funny.
Apart from the bombers already mentioned, Zacharias Massawi is there.
Oh,
the
20th
9/11 bomber.
The big shot. Yeah.
See him the other day?
Zacharias Massawi?
On Sunday or Saturday, one of the news shows had the video of him being transported by the U.S. Marshals.
Oh, really?
A pretty sweet plane he got to fly on, Mike.
Really? No kidding.
Gulfstream 5.
Oh, no, a Gulfstream 5. That's the most expensive business jet there is.
He's just sitting there, and there's, of course, Marshall with a gun pointed at him, and he just goes, "Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar." The whole plane ride. But the saving grace is the U.S. Marshal that took him to the prison said as soon as he walked through the gates and saw what the prison was like, his demeanor totally changed. Like, it finally hit him that this is where he's going to be for the rest
of his life. His miserable life.
Yeah, no more Gulfstream 5 rides.
Yeah, right. His last hurrah.
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, so Zacharias Massawi's there. Ahmed Rassam, who was arrested at the Canadian border with explosives, he was the guy that was going to bomb LAX. I think they got him on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
And then there's Abdul Hakim Murad, convicted in Operation Bajinka, a 1995 Al-Qaeda scheme to blow 12 planes, 11 of them U.S.-bound, out of the sky during a 48-hour period.
Oh, that's nice.
And then the inmates are placed at the same range based on their compatibility. Another clue as to why jihadists are housed together comes from the Bureau. Now, how they could house these jihadists together, I just can't imagine they're thinking about. Who cares about their compatibility?
I know it.
They're
what
in
the
prison
hell
for
that
life.
What would that have to do with anything?
Well, they're jihadists. I mean,
what the hell?
Their
who
whole
cares?
Goal in life is to kill Americans.
Absolutely.
Why would you house them together?
I can't even believe that these people are being kept alive in these prisons. They all ought to be executed immediately.
Now, they claim they would rather keep them together than have them separated where they have a chance to radicalize or recruit other inmates.
Mm-hmm.
They're in prison for life. Who cares who they talk to or recruit or whatever? They can't recruit anyone. Recruit them to do what?
I don't know. So if everybody isn't getting out of there in forever, what's the point?
Just
more noise at prayer time.
When word got out that this journalist was getting all these letters from Eric Rudolph, a lot of the locals started to get upset because they feel that they're living they're living near a pretty tempting terrorist target. If, for example, they were decided to free all these guys or do something to get them all out. And then they also wondered what would prevent an Al-Qaeda squad, maybe a suicide attacker, from breaking in.
Oh, wow.
At the same time, they were hearing rumors about internal security problems at the Supermax, as the prison is called.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah, so then they
great.
They go on to tell us how bad the security is at this.
Oh, nice.
The most... At the,
which
at
should
the
be
prison
the most secure prison on the planet.
Yeah, it's the prison
full of holes.
With the worst criminals that we have in the entire United States, and they have security problems.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And everybody knows it, and they do nothing about it.
Well, that's kind of what they go on to say. There's a lot more from Eric Rudolph's letters, though, which is very interesting. We got a break, though. Before we hit the break, though,
this will be from 40 yards away. Oh, and he misses.
Josh Brown, right down the middle.
A 36-yard attempt. It's no good.
And Vanderjack cannot make it.
Akers. It is good. It is no good. Not even close.
Time ticking away.
Caller 35 qualifies for the field goal kicking contest next Wednesday. The winner gets a pair of tickets to UMOSU, November the 18th. Winner also gets a $101 gas card and a hotel room for the night. No ringers allowed. It's all courtesy of DiGiorno Pizza. Qualifiers get a DiGiorno prize pack, including coupons for free pizza, pint glasses, duffel bag, and UM shirt, amongst other items. Sports' greatest rivalries, like Ohio State and Michigan, have met their match. It's delivery versus DiGiorno. Taste the pizza that rivals delivery. DiGiorno, the official frozen pizza of the NCAA. Caller 35 right now if you think you can kick field goals. Bring it.
This is WRIF.com.